Hey there, Danny with Right Foot Down. I messed up this ad read so many times because I really want to tell you about Track Monkey Apparel. They make great quality enthusiast shirts along with hats, stickers, watches, patches, you name it. A couple of my personal favorites are their Life is Better at the Track tee and their One Track Mind tee. You should really check them out and see for yourself. Their products are great for you or the gearhead in your life. Visit trackmonkeyapparel.com.
You're listening to the Untitled Car Show in partnership with RightFootDown.com. Visit RightFootDown for your daily automotive fix. If you enjoyed today's program, please tell a friend. It's the best way to support this show. If you want to visit the archives, go to YouTube and search for Untitled Car Show. That'll bring you to the archived episodes. If you want to follow the show, just search for Untitled Car Show on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can always send an email to the show at untitledcarshow@rightfootdown.com. We're so glad you decided to spend the next hour or so with us. Without further ado, let's get into today's program. Thank you for joining the Untitled Car Show. I'm a little peaky there. Today we have the grumpy half of Team Clearcoat. It's an automotive podcast, which you can find out more about by visiting teamclearcoat.com. It's Ian of Team Clearcoat. Ian, how are you doing this evening?
Good, good. Grumpy half. Tough but fair. That's tough but fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, anyone compared to your partner would be the grumpy one. It'd be like, you know, if you have Big Bird and Elmo in the room at the same time, Big Bird's the grumpy one, regardless of, you know, it's just going to be happy.
Yeah.
Not quite Werner Herzog over there, but...
No, yeah, that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah. Well, Dave, my husband, he's powered by, like, candy and smoke, so, yeah, it's hard to compete with that.
Yeah, this is true. My tab was trying to do stuff and I don't understand. It's trying to tell me that it updated itself and somehow there's an intelligent lock screen. I don't care. I use you for one thing and one thing alone, tablet. I use you for Skype and get used to it. So if somehow someone is listening to the sound of our voice and, you know, besides your multiple appearances on the show, has no idea what the hell Team Clear Coat is. Can you describe it in like a quick little bit?
Yeah. For anyone outside of the literally dozens of people who have heard our show, it's Dave and I. He is tall and ginger and happy, and I am short and hairy and grumpy. And we talk about cars mostly, but we talk a lot about like car culture and, you know, how car culture fits within the larger culture and also, you know, poop jokes.
A lot of poop jokes, which is my favorite part of the show, to be honest. Dave.
That's how we keep people sticking around through our like bloviating about politics and other things.
Which. One of the things that's changed since you've last been on the show is you now have a swear jar of sorts for certain topics, which I find absolutely endearing. So I think every podcast needs to get that, to be perfectly honest. And then I think I can come up with a list of it for, you know, every podcast. I think what I'm saying is everyone needs to, you know, pass their ideas by me, and I should be the one who approves or disproves these ideas. So.
You know, I like that. I like that as a role for you. And also the swear jar thing, like we are nothing if not very self-aware of ourselves. So we realized that there were certain cars that we mentioned over and over again. And also just for, you know, mental self-preservation, whenever any of us mentions the president, we put a dollar in the swear jar.
Mm-hmm. Which it's so great. And it you end up paying a lot into it most episodes, which is great. And then there's, it's going all to a charity, isn't it? at the end of the year?
Yeah, Dave has a charity picked out. It's basically as soon as we can't fit any more dollars into it, then we're going to donate it all. We thought we were going to hit that point at the end of the year, but we're still managing to cram stuff in there. So, well, we've got a few more weeks out of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Very much like my sex life. You can always cram a little more in there.
I'll let the viewer...
Speaking of uncomfortable topics, I think the title of this episode, you all have a new hashtag that I want to make sure everyone's aware of. It's a campaign for the show. It's a hashtag Getting Wet with Ian, and I think everyone listening needs to, you know, make sure they use that. You know, basically whenever they're talking about anything, I think is pretty much what it comes down to. But
I 100% do not endorse that. That is something that Dave likes to make me feel uncomfortable on the show, and that's an example of that. So basically, I admitted that I think of a lot of our topics while in the shower, and so now he calls whenever I have like these harebrained, half-formed ideas that I, you know, pollute the internet with. He calls that getting wet with Ian, because they're usually born of shower time.
Which, so, you know, I can't let a moment of silence pass, you know, in this household, just because then the brain starts to work and then it goes into overtime, and that's not how this works. Yeah. So I am the sort of person who is always listening to something on audio, which actually is very simpatico. I'm sure you're aware of this, and you have a little one. When you have a toddler, there's no silence anyway, so if you're just used to it, it just works out fine. So, yeah.
Well, that's why I cherish my shower time, because it's like the one time he's not allowed to be talking to me.
This is very true, yeah. I mean, for me, it's I'm curious, do you have a – I got to be careful about how I phrase this. Do you have a Amazon Echo?
I don't. I'm an IT person by trade.
Yeah.
And I'm a network engineer. And I have a on-purpose dumb house. Like, I have a Wi-Fi router, and that is it. Like, I don't have any of that stuff. Mostly because I know how it all works. Yeah. And I choose not to have it in my house as a result of that.
See, I'm with you for the most part. I have a slight background in IT back when, like, Windows XP was new and exciting. But the Amazon works very well for me, the Echo Dot, so I don't activate anyone's accidentally. When you're just a dumb person, you kind of need a smart house because you're like, oh, I need groceries, like, to live and breathe. And I have a toddler screaming at me, so we're just going to go ahead and, you know, inform the Echo about this. But the flip side of that is as soon as your toddler figures out they can command a thing by just using their voice, there's not a moment's peace. Like,
Yeah, I will on occasion use the voice activation on my phone, and I have an Android, and so we'll like. And, you know, from, like, maps, if I need to update directions and maps while I'm driving, I do it hands-free. But my toddler has learned that works. So he'll be like, Google Home! Or Google School! You know, he'll shout that in the car. There's no phone anywhere near him. He just shouts it because, you know, he knows that's how things happen.
Yeah. It is extra adorable when you're out and about and she'll just randomly yell out, you know, Echo Dot, play the Elmo song. Like, sweetie, we're out at like a sushi place. This isn't going to happen for you here. So,
yeah,
I dread.
And just for your listeners, I just want to say, Alexa, send browser history to mom.
That's going to work out great. I think it'd be worse if it was like, okay, Google sends browser history to mom, but I don't want to expose my listeners to that. Oh, wait.
Well, you just did, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. no, so it's quite entertaining. So I love the show. I'm a big fan ever since. How long ago has it been now since you all sent me the email asking me to join you on the program? Any idea?
I do not remember. It probably would have been sometime in 2016. We started in like September of 2015, I think is when we started.
Yeah.
I think we've lost listeners ever since. So, so yeah, it would have been somewhere in between now and then.
Well, I blame myself for that because, you know, any show that has me on it, it just viewership just goes down. I'm surprised the smoking, you know, or no. Who else have I been on? I had the smoking tire on this show. I got myself all confused for a second. Yeah, I don't know. Brain not working. There we go. No, it's been, I feel like it's been, you know, close to 2 years, and it's been, the program is really good, and I like, it's interesting to me because it's, I feel like you've had some format changes along the way where, like, you used to have guests and interviews, you had a very brief book club at one point.
Yeah, we had one author actually agree to do it with us, and then no one else would return our emails, so that was the end of the book club.
Yeah. I think it actually outlives this show's book club, which was, let me see if I can get Ben Collins on, and then we can do like, uh-huh. a reading of his book when he comes on the program. And I'm like, hey, can you come on? Like, sure, I can be on next week. Okay, so that's not going to happen.
so, that's funny.
Yeah, so, but it's interesting. So you went through, you know, format change, like interview program, kind of. You know, you and Dave sitting in the blanket fort, which is the great, you know, who have the blankets changed? I haven't even thought about that. Has it been the same blankets this whole time?
I think it's been a couple of the blankets have been from original. So the first couple episodes we recorded sitting on the floor of Dave's basement with like a, up against his couch with a blanket over us for acoustics. and then we graduate. He built like a little fort out of PVC pipe and hung blankets in like kind of almost a hallway in his house. And then we graduate to the current iteration, which is we have a whole room dedicated, and we got like a video set up, and it's kind of like a little studio. So yeah, that's our setup now. As far as the format, like we've always struggled with interviews because. I think the core of the show is me and Dave. It's like Ian and Dave are friends, the car show.
Yeah.
And so it's hard sometimes when we introduce other people to that equation, figuring out how to maintain our voice and our, you know, our personas on the show or as they are. So
I feel like when you outnumber the guests, it's a little harder. I think you need to just start inviting on three people at a time. And that way you'll be outnumbered by the people you're interviewing. So
yeah, that sounds like chaos. That's the other thing is that we really like a pretty structured, you know, it may not sound like it, but our shows are actually like written and usually pretty structured. And we chase tangents and stuff, but we like to be, you know, prepared for our interviews and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, it's great. Again, when I get to sit back and listen to, because I'm always on the prowl since I have to find a guest a week to interview because I set up this terrible format, which means I have to be a pain in my own ass every week. I go listen to a lot of podcasters and other people, and I think I got a pretty good ear now for like, oh, this person won't last like a week, this person won't last a month, like this person, they might make it a year and then they'll just drop off the planet, you know. I've got a good feeling now, I think, for that. And what's interesting about listening to you guys is, you know, from the get-go, I'm like, these guys, you know, the charisma, everything's there. It's, you know, good repertoire between you. That's like a fancy French word. And it's...
Repartee.
You know, repartee. See? Damn it. I tried to be fancy. I failed. You bourgeoisie out there in Colorado. You're talking down to us D.C. yeah. people.
That's accurate.
Yes.
Accurate.
Looking down from on high because you're up high. And that serves a double meaning now that there's something legalized there. So, lots of trade thought. But like, I could hear the format kind of evolve, and I feel like it went from a very kind of loose, very much it just seemed like, you know, you and Dave were getting together in the beginning and just hanging out, and there happened to be a microphone there, to now you can kind of hear, like, there's some preparation, and they're like, oh, that's right, I want to talk about I Have in My Eyes for you, which is like just weird crap you've seen on the streets and everything. And it's been, you know, it's been fun from a standpoint of getting to listen to the evolution and everything going along from my weird aspect of, like, not only do I get to listen to these people, but I kind of get to hear the evolution of it all. And I do feel like you've kind of hit a stride. Well, you've always been, I've always enjoyed listening to you, but I feel like you've got it down pat now. And I'm kind of wondering, what's your secret to being professional? Like, because I have no idea what the hell it is.
I think, so I don't think we see it that way at all. I think we both, I think it's both, it's that we both highly doubt that anyone actually wants to listen to anything we say. So if we don't have, if we're not, so we make up for that by over-preparing, probably.
Mm. All right, now, see, this is the exact opposite because I didn't send you any topics, which is rare for me, and I kind of enjoyed the, you know, luxury of getting back and just getting to vamp with you this evening. So I'm curious then, because this is just going to be Ike's random brain thoughts thrown at Ian. So I'm curious then, what if you could go on to another automotive podcast, let's say like a good one, not like this bullshit show. Like, which show would you want to go join? Like, if you and Dave got to go to anywhere and go on any automotive podcast, which one would it be?
You know, to be honest, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
You're lucky, man.
You know what? So I do like the Smoking Tire sometimes. So I would like to go. I think it'd be fun to do that. You know, honestly, beyond that, my goal for the show has always been to get people who are outside of cars onto the show. So I think it'd be fun to interact with, to like be evangelicals for car culture, on shows that have nothing to do with cars. Mm. That would be my dream. If we could be known as the two idiots that could convince people to like examine, to think about cars in a different way,
that would be
the end goal.
So what you're saying is you need to be the next Click and Clack on NPR. I think that'd be a good place for you all to land. Like, take that time slot now that, you know, one of them's unfortunately passed away and the show's no longer on the air. I can see that.
Yeah.
I could see.
Yeah, we would last like 3 minutes until I started swearing, and then it would be over.
As long as you just do it in the whisper voice, you know, like, "Hello, welcome to Team Clearcoat. Fuck, fuck, dick, dicks, penis, penis, vagina. This is Dave. Like, what's going on? Like, no one would know.
Yeah.
They'd be yelling at him because he has the loud, squeaky voice, and you're over there in NPR mode.
Like, yeah. Yeah, so when we first started the show, I it's hard to explain to people what it is, but one of the things that I always said was being someone with, let's say, hipster tendencies. I have friends who are very opinionated about everything in culture, right? They're opinionated. They would never eat at a restaurant without reading 5 reviews. They would never, they have a about music that they hear, you know, can tell you what is problematic about the last 3 movies they saw, and so every other piece of culture that they consume, they really think about it and they ingest criticism about it and think about it in the larger piece. As you know, how it relates to the world around them, but they all drive whatever random car they bought when they were 20. You know, they don't like think about cars at all, and it's such a huge piece of their lives. And that always kind of boggled my mind that this huge thing for most of the people that I know, like, it might be the most expensive thing they've ever bought, but they don't think about it in the same way that they think about the, you know, $17 record they just bought. So getting, doing that sort of like evangelical work, if you could call it that, has always been a stated goal of our show. I don't think we're very successful at it. I don't think many non-car people listen to us, but it would be nice if they did.
Well, I think part of the thing that makes you very accepting to like everyone in the car community is, and part one of the things, and what I really enjoy about your show is it makes me sit back sometimes and realize, you know, my own, for lack of a better word, like prejudices in the automotive world and like thinking about them in like a wider context and everything. And it's fascinating, you know, from a standpoint of like you, the show's donk friendly, you say, which, you know, for those who don't know, it's like, it, you know, it's just silly stuff like that. But it's like, you know, as you kind of spread throughout the car culture, you don't have a niche that kind of ties you to, you know, I like, you know, Matt Fair as well, but, you know, the smoking tire kind of has its niche and, you know, kind of the big muscle car scene. And I don't think you'd see, I don't think he's done a one take, for example, on a lowrider or on a donk or anything like that. It's just kind of like, that's not his scene. So that's not what he does. So it just kind of works out that way where I can see you and Dave in a, you know, low rider or a donk or a, you know, anything, because you, I think you want to understand car culture as a whole and kind of help spread that out to the masses when the masses come calling, because they will come calling. So.
Well, maybe, but yeah, I'm super fascinated by low rider culture. And I think, and you know, my personal preference is, you know, I like sports cars. I like going fast around a racetrack. I don't understand and lots of different subcultures in within car culture. And I think that car culture right now is at a place and that we lack self-awareness and we lack any ability to like examine ourselves. So like a lot of people wouldn't even recognize sports cars as a subculture of car culture. They would just think, well, that's what car culture is, right?
Yeah.
Or they, you know, they don't, and they just think like, well, you know, if you make a donk, then you've ruined a car. You know, never mind that most sports car people weren't like really interested in caprices. So it's kind of weird. And they don't think about how that ties into other things in the larger culture, like racism or anything else. So I just think it's interesting to, and I have not seen a lot of people, a lot of journalists or writers kind of digging into that aspect of it. So that's one thing that we do on the show. And then, you know, the big topic right now that we've been discussing a lot is the F1 Grid Girls thing and misogyny in car culture.
Yeah. I do like the, I really enjoy it. I'm not going to. I really think it's the latest episode as we record this, but it's probably a week ago as you hear this. So you need to go check it out. There is a great conversation about the Grid Girls and putting them out of business and all that stuff. And it I don't know. I just thought it was fascinating and hilarious. So go listen to that. Go stop, pause this program, go listen to them, and then come back if this is what you want to listen to, other than the hilarity that ensues when Dave irritates Ian. So, yeah, that's the other thing we need to talk about. So, you came out to DC and we went karting.
Oh yeah, that's right. And I was actually just in your neck of the woods last week. I was there, but I was kind of west of you. I was in Western Maryland. So, but yeah, yeah, we did. So I know where I travel a lot for work, and I know where all of the karting places are anywhere near where I travel. And I had some extra time flying out of BWI. So I was like, hey, I know there's a kart place 15 minutes from here. I'm going to go get some laps in. And you came out and met me. It was great.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a blast, I think. We met some we ran one just by ourselves, and you thoroughly kicked my ass. And then we ran another one and with a bunch of people, and you thoroughly kicked their ass, even though they work there all the time. So I was very impressed by your. I hear about it on a show, but it's your prowess in the karting. It's scary, sir. It's scary good.
Well, you know, I do it a lot, and I'm not that good. Like, I can usually get within. The problem is I'm still over a second off of the really, really, really fast times, you know, like the record times. And I just can't, I can't get past that, that gap for some reason.
Breaking up a little bit there, but yeah, you said you're a second off of the really fast times, so, and you just can't get
yeah,
past
usually I'm about a,
did we lose you? Oh, was it what? Ian?
I'm still here, but you're breaking up a little bit.
All right, let me try something here. Hold on. Yeah, we're going to pause the recording here for just a second.
Really, really does. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that does help.
Yeah, and we got to race with a bunch of league guys doing their practice with a staggered start, which was awesome. So, or a stage start. Stage start. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. We did a grid start. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
And I think before the race, we were both like, yeah, Ike and I, you know, we were like, we're gonna hang back, and we're not gonna like go crazy. And then of course, I dive on like three people on the first corner.
I was just happy I didn't get last place. I don't even remember what place I came in. I'm like, not last. Yay, go Ike. You're not the worst. So. Yeah.
No, that was a blast, and then it was great. Those guys, cause, you know, sometimes you show up to those arrive and drive places, and you end up with a bunch of randos that are terrible, and it just. But it's always fun when you have other fast people. So, and you did fine. You were not far off of my times. I think you were what, half second off.
Not far off. Well, a half second in like a like 15-second lap. It's like, yeah, you weren't that far off. Like, you extrapolate that out to, like, a minute lap, and it's like, yeah, you were, like, you know, 3 seconds behind me, 4 seconds behind me. Like, it's pretty bad. I don't know. I have gone there with a former professional race car driver, and I was able to keep on his ass. So the fact that you were faster than him is, I put that down as impressive. So, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so take the compliment, you bastard.
okay.
It's fun. You know, I really enjoyed the car. I really like meeting. And this is kind of the weird thing about doing the thing we get to do is you get to meet and interact with people, and the internet brings crazy people together, and then they don't murder each other sometimes, and that's what happens when you go go-karting. So...
We haven't murdered each other yet.
Yeah. You know, it's been, most of that's been like a, you know, timing issue. Like, well, he's in town, but I can't get over there to see him. So, you know, it's just, you know, one day we'll get the schedules to line up. So,
yeah.
So I'm curious then too, since, we're kind of on Ike's random brain being in charge at the moment. You play a game called FMK Cars on your show, and it's Kill, Fuck, Marry Cars, and it's, you play with cars because you're nice people, supposedly. So
yeah,
I have a selection of cars for you here today that are all cars, engines that are going, that have, I have bought in an attempt to put them into the Volvo. So I have, you know, I bought three engines. I'm on my third engine going into this Volvo. So these are the cars that these engines came from. So this should be good.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first one is a Audi 5000. That is the Quattro, and that is the turbo. The next one.
Oh, the turbo one.
Yes. So five cylinders. Yeah.
My first car, and it was a normally aspirated one, and it was terrible.
Yeah, they were.
It was awful.
Yeah. They were renowned for being terrible cars. Yeah, you're getting a little staticky again. I can't tell if that's me or you again. The Nissan X.
Yeah, I'm getting freaked up a lot.
Here, hold on 1 second. Let me try something. Editing is not going to be fun. Hold on. So Audi 5000 is the first one. The second one is a Nissan Xterra. And that's what. Hello.
Hello. I'm gonna try call. I'm trying to call you now on not on Wi-Fi. Oh. Hopefully, LTE would be faster. Anyway, yeah. Sorry about that.
That's fine. I'm just keeping all this in because I'm at this point. I already know I'm frustrated with editing. So, the second vehicle is a Nissan Xterra, a 2004. So kind of the last year of the first body style.
Okay.
And then the third one is a 1969 Chevy Nova.
Oh, my God. So with that's a six-cylinder?
Yes, yeah, straight six Nova.
Straight six. So what's the Xterra? That's a V6, right?
V6, yeah.
Wow. I think I'm going to crush the Audi 5000.
Really?
Because I've kind of like been, well, I've been there, done that, you know?
Yeah.
Like I got that. I know what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Catching fire. That's what it's about. So.
Yeah. I had that as a teenager in Michigan and it was already, so it was an 87 and I got that car in 2000. And the odometer had stopped at like 150,000 miles, and it had who knows how many miles on it past that. In Michigan, even in 2000, if you had a foreign car, you were kind of screwed. I once had a tow truck driver leave me on the side of the road, like just be like, should have bought an American car and drove off.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I'm crushing that. I've lived that experience. So that means, man, so a straight six Nova,
mm-hmm.
what that produces, what, like 45 horsepower?
I believe rated from the factory, it was like 150-ish. Like,
uh-huh. Like, I'm sure that's accurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 1960s Chevy. Why would they lie?
I will for a day drive the Nova, and then I think I'll marry the Xterra. You got me to marry an SUV. I'll marry the Xterra. I think that would come in handy in Colorado.
Oh, that's just practicality showing right there. It's got a first aid kit too, so there's that.
Yeah, there you go. But it doesn't have any engine because you stole it for the Volvo.
That's true. And to make it even better, so from what I was told when I bought it from someone from the Lemons Forum, it came from I was told it was a Nissan Xterra motor. Turns out it was actually from the Nissan minivan. Also, the Mercury Villager was the same car. So would your answer change if I said it was a Mercury Villager?
Yeah, I think it definitely would. a Mercury Villager. That's hilarious. There's no way. Well, I didn't think that was a transverse engine. I thought that was.
It's not. So that's.
But isn't it transverse in the Nissan Villager?
It is.
Or in the Mercury Villager?
Yes, it is. That's how I discovered. Wait a minute. This isn't from an Xterra. So it's the same block, same heads, but like the water passage and all the accessory drive and everything is different. So I was like,
yeah.
Oh, like that's why. Because I'm like, why is the plumbing coming off to the one side? Like, this makes no sense. Oh, that's why. Oh, this isn't good. So
Well, I mean, that just means you make it mid-engine instead. You make the Volvo mid-engine.
Yeah, I pretty much am already pushing my ability to not kill myself by trying to put a motor into the front of the car. Chopping out the middle of it and trying to cram a motor in there, not so good. I don't want to see me welding a firewall. That just sounds like hell. Like,
no, I know. it's crazy complicated, but it'd be awesome if someone did it. But
that someone isn't me. Like, I learned my lesson. Like, I was like, well, I can get the Quattro motor, or, you know, motor from the 5000. It should go do a Quattro transmission, but I don't want to do that. So I can get a flex plate and I can adapt it to my Nissan transmission I already got, and this will all be sorted out. And then, like, 2 months, 3 months into that, I'm like, yeah, what more engines are on sale? Old Chevy Nova motor.
So, So what was the thought process behind looking at the Audi engine in the first place?
I got it for $40.
Have you read any? Oh, okay. All
right. Ironically, I bought it off of Craigslist from someone who happened to also be another 24 Hours of Lemons person.
Gotcha.
So okay. Like, here's
and they were looking to unload their personal hell on someone else.
So,
and thus the $40 engine.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with the person by name, but have you seen the Lemons car, which is the upside down car driving around?
Oh yeah.
And then the Volkswagen bus laid on its side driving around. That's a guy by the name of Speedy Cop, who I got the motor from. And it was going into one of his projects, but he needed to sell it for another project. I'm like, all right, like, I'll take it. Like, it's got a turbo on it. That's at least worth $40. So we'll see. Turns out mid-late 90s technology fuel injection that's mechanical, a lot more complicated than you would think. Not quite sure.
Well, it was earlier than that. It was from a 5000, because that would have been late 80s, early 90s, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. No bueno. So, carburetor, three wires, and a starter. Got it. Cool. Good to go.
Yeah.
That's Chevy Nova Alt. Again, weird thing. The motor I got has less than 40,000 miles on it from new.
Does it still turn over?
Yeah, no. The guy who I bought it from is like, I have the documentation from the prior owner. He went out. Basically, the only time the car got driven was to and from a little local auto parts place to get the oil changed. I'm like,
weird.
I'm like, that is the worst. You have a inline six Nova. It's not like, why would you keep this thing and treasure it? I mean, it's a kind of a cool car, but you literally put like 40,000 miles on it over like 40 something years. That's ridiculous. Like,
right.
And the guy who bought it.
I mean, it's the equivalent of. It's the equivalent of somebody doing that with, like, a Hyundai Accent, you know?
And not even, like, a new one, like, a 91. Like,
right, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, it very odd. I just keep coming across these odd stories. So, but I got a simple transmission, bolts right into it, which is being a pain in my ass right now, actually. But we're getting off the topic. This isn't about me. This isn't the Ike show. This is the Ian show.
This is just how good we are at Team Clicker. We can just turn it around and talk about you.
Yeah, that's true. That's your interview skills are so amazing. Yeah. it is a great show, and it depresses me when I see it. Like, you guys should be much higher in the ratings than I am. It boggles my mind when I see you down there below me. I'm like, that shouldn't be. You guys do a much better quality show and a much, you know, more engaging show, and it's like, you need to be above me. Like, everyone needs to go listen to you guys. I don't deserve this. Go listen to Ian and Dave. So, kind of went off on a tangent there, and I don't know where I'm going from that. So, lost my train of thought. Ian, help me out.
I want to talk more about the Volvo. I'm genuinely curious about it. So the plan, so you're going to have essentially more, the same, but probably less horsepower than you would have had if you had just bought a complete Volvo, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, you know,
but why?
But you don't understand. I had a complete fall, though, and then I broke it, so then I have to take it apart and then put something else in it. That's how that works.
So why didn't you just get another Volvo engine if you're going to end up with, you know, an iron block that only produces, realistically, like 120 horsepower?
So this is the car that went on the 24 Hours of Le Mans rally last year.
Right.
That broke down in West Virginia. And then the problem with breaking down in West Virginia on a road rally like that is you go, I need parts for a Volvo. And they look at you and go, ain't that one of them lady bits? And you're like, mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, it's a car. Do you have parts for it? And it's rare and hard to find parts. So the original objective was, well, I'll get the Nissan motor because there's Nissans everywhere, not so much Volvos. So I can just get that, get the parts, and then run with it. And then that turned into a wiring disaster, and I just decided to ditch that because it was being a pain in my ass. And then the Audi motor fell in my lap, and then I was like, nah, this isn't going to work anyway. Back to the original plan. So there's a Chevy Nova motor, and it's like, this is the weirdest experience. Okay, so this is an experience you and I might share. So you've owned a lot of rare German, you know, non-domestic cars, and you have this... You go into an auto parts store and you say, I need a part for this vehicle. And they look at you like, yeah, we can special order that, but it's going to be like, you know, four times more expensive than it should be. So
no. So I've had that experience. But the worst answer they can give you is, oh, yeah, I've got that right here. Because you know, because then you're consumed with doubt all the way back to the house that you've actually bought the correct thing. Mm. And 9 times out of 10, you haven't.
Well, for me, it was a weird experience walking in and like, I need a lower radiator hose for a 1969 Chevy Nova. And they're like, yeah, here it is. Like, this is odd. I've never had this. Like,
right.
You have it and it's in stock? Yeah, yeah. Like, do you need the upper one too? No. Like, what are you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, kind of objective complete on that, because it's like, all right, it works and it fits. And,
Dave and I have talked about that on the show before, about how so I gave him an FMK cars one time, and we do, you know, crazy catches with our FMK cars sometimes.
Yeah.
And one of the catches was so you get this really cool car, but every time you drive it, you have to do the brakes, and the brakes take you 5 minutes to complete. You get to do a complete brake job in 5 minutes, but in your mind, you know that it's a 2.5 hour job.
Yeah.
So you're like that feeling of like, this went too well is like almost worse than when a 15-minute repair takes 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was talking
because about, then it's like the next 2 weeks, every noise that you hear in the car is just like, I knew that repair shouldn't take me longer. It's finally breaking.
I had a moment like that. So recently I did the brakes on the Ford Fiesta, the vehicle I drive around every day. And, you know, putting it all together, the missus comes out because it's, you know, 1 a.m. I told her the job should only take like, you know, a couple hours, and it's 1 a.m. and it's like, you start working on this car at like 9, it should be done by now. I'm like, yeah, I'm almost finished. So, you know, when you get interrupted at train of thought, especially when you're as spastic as I am, you tend to forget things. So one of the things I forgot was when she talked to me, I was standing on the passenger side, but I had actually been working on the driver's side. So I wrapped up the passenger side and went in, went to bed, woke up the next day, drove the car. I'm like, the brakes are awful squeaky. I don't know why. So I just put the stuff on it. Maybe they're a little greasy. Like, maybe I didn't clean them off well. Maybe I needed to lube them up better. I'll take a look at them over the next couple days. So like 2 days goes by, and I'm like, yeah, they're still really squeaky. So I pulled the car into the garage, and I just happened to reach around on the front driver's side, and I noticed that the bracket only has one bolt in it. I'm like, oh, that's
cool. Oh my god.
And driving around in DC traffic is not a good time to have questionable brakes.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, because the other it torque vectors too, and I'm like, the car is being awful pull, like it's pulling really hard to the right for some reason. I just don't get why it's doing that. It's typically the torque vector and works a lot better than this. Yeah, that's exactly what was going on.
And remind me again, so you feel confident about this engine swap idea?
No, I think it's going to go terrible, and my wife is my wife is about the same level of confidence in me. But it's like, listen, if it breaks, it's a Volvo, it's safe. I mean, you know, if you're going to do something stupid,
true,
do it in the safest way possible. I mean, come on. So, and just to piss off Steph Schrader, of course, I'm using as many Porsche parts as possible from the cannibalized Porsche I had. So, like the.
Right.
The engine mounts for the Nova are actually from the Porsche, which I think is hilarious. So
that is pretty funny.
Yeah. So
you definitely need to put the Porsche steering wheel in too. You can, if you have it.
Oh yeah, I'm doing that. I'm trying to find a way to mount the itty bitty Porsche wheels to it, but different bolt pattern. So I don't think anyone makes a. I know for a fact no one makes a wheel spacer adapter from Volvo to Porsche. So, because I've looked, but weirdly, those wheels will fit on my Fiesta.
Nice,
which is the weirdest thing. And I'm like, I should get some winter.
You should put,
You do need
at least like the badges from like every make that has donated to your car on the back, and then like maybe you could have a Nissan one and just like put an X through it so that didn't make cut. You know, like the four rings to put an X to that.
Well, I was thinking about this. So it's got parts from a Volvo in it. It's got parts from a Nova, a Chevy C10, a Porsche 924. And that's like the big components. So I'm trying to think. You're better with names. Obviously, I suck with names because I'm the Untitled Car Show. Like, I suck at names, basically. So, I think if you went with like Volvo and Nova and crammed them together, you get Volva, and that doesn't work. So it's a bit on the nose. So, and if I just don't know. Like, do you do like Chevo, like Nova 40? Like, how do you combine all that stuff together? Or Nova 42.4, something like that? Who knows? You're good with names.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do a clever, Ian. Do a clever. You can't see, but I'm waving my hands dismissively.
Make clever happen.
Exactly. So
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Okay.
But you could do my idea for the badges. You could do them on the side of the car, like you know how like fighter pilots will put like the number of kills they have.
Yes.
You know, they'll like So you could have that on the side of the car, like, oh, I've managed to. To destroy cars from all of these makes.
I like that. I actually like
the pursuit of this terrible thing.
I like the idea of just doing an outline of them, like, you know, how they like did like the outlines of the plane, do an outline of each vehicle, like its silhouette, and just like put a, like an X through it. I like that. I think I'm going to do that.
Yep.
See, this is.
Yeah, there you go.
See, listen, this is me bullshitting, and that's Ian bullshitting, and he comes up with a better idea like that. So,
whatever.
You don't take compliments well. So everyone's by this point, we're 48 minutes into it, stop listening, probably including Dave. So let's go with, what's your biggest complaint about Dave over the last year?
There is nothing to complain about as my 3-year-old calls him, Mr. Dave. Actually, yes, there is. On that note, Dave is he's 6'4", and now I have to hear from my 3-year-old all the time. He now uses, you know, like the most of the world uses meters, we use feet, you know, and so everyone has their preferred unit of measure.
Yeah.
Some people like yards, whatever. Nico, my 3-year-old, refers to everything in units of Mr. Dave. So, it's about an orca whale. Is an orca whale bigger or smaller than Mr. Dave? Is that tree bigger or smaller than Mr. Dave? if I eat all of my lunch, will I be as big as Mr. Dave? So I have to hear about how nice and tall Mr. Dave is all of the time. Mm-hmm. So that's wearing a little thin. But no, Dave is a delightful human being, and my life is immeasurably better for having him in it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you got to see him poop in a field, so there's that.
I got to harass him while he poops in a field, which is even better.
It's a delight. So you guys have been professional auto journalists for a while now, you know, doing what you do. I'm curious, what's the big event you're looking forward to doing in 2018?
Not being kicked out of legitimate automotive journalist circles, I think is our big goal at this point. We're going to be covering the Denver Auto Show, hopefully, in April. And we have some really fun ideas, for that, for doing some good coverage there. But other than that, hopefully we get to drive some cars, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's it going to take to get you all out to the New York Auto Show this year?
When is that? That's at the end of the year, right?
It's I should know because I'm going March 28th and 9th, I think, are the press days.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. because I have another baby coming in April. Yeah, thank you. So yeah, I'm gonna be on travel blackout by then, I think. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think I knew that. I did know that because you've been having some automotive issues with your fleet of vehicles, and in the last recording, you were also summoned home by your pregnant wife. So
a bit.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days. Like, it's, you never say no to a pregnant lady. It doesn't matter. It's whatever they want. It's
like, it's true. You do that at your peril.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and also you don't want to be seen saying no to a pregnant woman, because then you just everyone thinks you're an asshole.
This is true. There's no good look on that. So
right.
So then when I come through, so I'm doing the Lemons Rally later in the year, and this one's different. So the last one was all up and down the East Coast. This next one starts in Chicago and ends in L.A. And if I did my math right, I think it cuts through Colorado at some point. So what I'm asking is, when my car inevitably breaks down, how good are the tools at your location?
Oh, come to Dave's house. Go to Dave's house. He actually has like a space to work on a car, and we can get tools to the house if you don't have them. And he also has an extra bedroom, and you can come on, and we can just record a show.
Mm-hmm. This is my secret plan. So my secret plan is,
if you could time your breakdown for downtown Denver, that would be ideal.
Yeah. Does Route 66 cut through Colorado? Am I going crazy?
I think it's actually New Mexico. Mm. I think.
Yeah.
But that's still not that far away.
Yeah.
When is it? This is August, right?
No, this is actually later in the year. This is October, November-ish. So. Yeah.
That's a terrible time of year to do that.
Oh yeah, no, I know. Believe me, there's one that starts on the West Coast that's in August, which is like, you're going to suffer through the one out on the East Coast is you're going to suffer through the snow. The one on the West Coast is you're going to suffer through the heat. And the one that goes from Chicago to L.A. is like, yeah, good luck.
Of the above.
Just take it all. Here's the high desert. Here's the high plains. And we'll just throw some mountains in the mix just to mess you up. So,
yeah. Well, once you figure out the route, let us know, and we'll come heck something.
Yeah. Well, they give you waypoints along the way to kind of like pick up, and that's kind of, you'll know day of. So it's a few days in advance. My secret goal is to just talk to as many automotive journalists between Chicago and L.A. as possible. So that's my secret goal. So
nice.
Don't tell anyone.
Nice.
No one's listening at this point.
Good plan.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like there was something I was supposed to ask you, and it's been driving me nuts, and I can't think of what it is. We talked about you coming out here. We talked about you, you know, kicking ass at go-karting. We talked about the wonderful hashtag, you know, getting wet with Ian, which I think everyone needs to use. There was something in the latest episode, and it's driving me nuts now because I'm trying to think of it and I can't come up with it. And yeah, I don't know. Why do you think it's so fun to irritate you? Is the other question.
Probably because you know, my default state is self-deprecating and grumpy, so mm-hmm. it's easy to just pile onto that, I think.
Yeah. I think that's good. Remember what I was going to ask you. So we've brought this question. This question has been added to our list of topics since last you've been on the show. I'm sure you remember I asked you what the hardest food to eat while driving is. So
yeah,
this one is in along a similar vein, but it's what's the hardest makeup to apply while driving?
Hardest makeup to apply while driving. You know, probably... You know, I don't know. Cover up to bruises on the ego, I think, is really hard to apply while driving. I think that's the real answer to that.
I'm not sure what that means. That sounds like some hipster bullcrap, but
So here's what I mean. So you know, you have the idea of covering up bruise or whatever with makeup, you know. Mm-hmm. Right, you know that idea.
Yeah.
Well,
when I fall down the stairs, for example,
very hard to recover from when you're driving. So, you know, like in my car, it inevitably doesn't start on the first try, and people think it's just a like really cool, highly modified, cool car, and then it goes and doesn't start. That's hard to recover from.
Mm-hmm. So you think they think it's a cool car, but really what they're thinking is like, oh, look, the poor guy's shocks are broken. Oh, and now he can't start the car. So.
Yeah, oh, no, that idiot did that on purpose, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so now that brings me into a – that might be a question I ask come future shows here is actually what's the most embarrassing problem you can have with your car? Is it the not starting? Is it – you know, breaking down on the side of the road? Is it, you know, something you have to pull in and ask the guy at AutoZone? What's the most embarrassing way to break down?
So I'll tell you the most embarrassing breakdown I ever had, and you've probably heard this story because I talked about it on our show, but a year or two ago, we were camping up near Aspen, and we had I had my 2-year-old with me and my wife, and we were in the Volkswagen. I have a Volkswagen R32 2004, and had enough stuff for 3 days of camping and toddler support, so like that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And and we got back, we were coming back to Denver, and everything was well. And then all of a sudden, I just started getting random, like, lights on the dash. Like, I got an airbag light, and then it went out. And then I got an ABS light, and then that went out. And, like, it just, like, kind of cycled through, and I was just like, ooh, this is just... And everything felt fine. It was running okay. And I was just getting these, like, little lights, like, every... And they would only stay on for, like, 15 seconds and then go right back out. And I was just like, oh, something is amiss. I feel Volkswagen happening. And I was like, you know what? Let's stop for lunch. We'll go to Vail. We're driving past Vail. I was like, let's pull into Vail. We'll get lunch, and then I'll figure out what's happening, and we'll continue on to Denver. And of course, it's Sunday. We get it. We pull off into Vail, and we are driving around trying to find someplace to eat because it's like the off season. And we're looking for someplace to eat, and then it just hard dies. Just all the lights come on, and I get like 5 seconds to get out of the road, and just complete electrical failure. And I'm like of course it dies in front of like $230 million condos, you know, because Vail is super hoity-toity.
Yeah.
And then there's me looking like I'm a set, like I escaped from a set of a production of Grapes of Wrath. Like my car is just like loaded down with a bunch of nonsense, and I've got like a crying toddler on the side of the road. It was a mess, and it was like a whole production, like trying to get us home. It was like hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get us, just to get my car to a mechanic and get us home. I think I spent like, it was something like $600 or $700 just to make those two things happen. It was ridiculous. Cause the Vail is like 100 miles from Denver.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm like 2 weeks without my car. Cause of course my car is 100 miles away. And then it turns out that it was, you know, going up a really rough pass and going over some dirt roads and stuff while we were camping, just backed the bolt for the charging cable on the alternator out of the alternator, and the charging cable fell off the alternator. Yeah. And that was the entire breakdown. That was it. you know, and it was so much money for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the worst one.
Yeah. That is a bad one. I do remember that story from the show. And if you want to hear more amazing stories like that, you need to go check out Team Clearcoat. You need to listen to Ian, because, you know, Ian and Dave do one of the best automotive-related podcasts on the planet right now, personal opinion. And you need to go listen to it. So we're getting up on the hour after all our technical snafus this evening, Ian. So I'm not going to keep you too much longer. Do you have anything to say or do before we depart for the evening?
Well, yeah, I do want to say a big thank you to you, because you obviously have been one of our, you know, kind of like biggest champions, shouting to a very unreceptive public that that we're worth listening to, and we really do appreciate that that you actually tell people about us and interact with us on the internets and all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, anytime you want to have a breakdown in Denver, let us know, and we will assist you.
That sounds like when you and Dave put out an album of fax machine noise fucking. that'll be the title of the album. It will be Breaking Down in Denver. So,
yeah,
yep.
That's the motto for our show. Actually, is that the cars break down mechanically and the hosts emotionally. That's that's our tagline.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make sure you give Dave a hug for me, and
I will. And he says hi too as well.
Well, hi. That's all I get. Let's see how it is. I mean, give him a hug. God. Yeah. Which, by the way, so he posted something on Twitter today, which was really sad, but it made me do a, like, I don't know why I'm obsessed with looking up GIFs. So you start typing in random stuff into Twitter for pulling up GIFs. And if you just type in car hug, mm-hmm. the first answer or the first response is obviously a person in like a giant teddy bear costume hugging a Porsche Boxster. And it's like, I don't know why that's a thing or like whose fetish that is, because that's obviously what that comes from.
Yeah.
But it's there. So that's a thing. So way to go in it.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you're happy that that's good that that's out in the world, right? That's a net positive for us, I think, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, again, to kind of, you know, I'm not out here to try and yuck someone's yum. You know, if that's your thing, if that's, you know, how you get your rocks off, you know, bear costume and a Porsche. Oh, that's my album. Bear costume and a Porsche. So, Ian, thanks so much for listening. For joining me today. I'm already in like shutdown mode here. It's been a long day.
I understand. Me too.
Everyone go listen or go visit teamclearcoat.com. Go subscribe. Go do everything you need to do that you're doing to this show right now. go do it right now. It's their show. And you could follow the show at, at Team Clear Coat on Twitter, Instagram, and all that business. And you can follow, Ian is I Roll So Hard, and Dave is Knuck Knuck Goose. So it is crazy yes. that I know that off the top of my head. So it
that is crazy.
Yeah. I listen too much, man. It's what I do. I listen with my heart, not with my brain. Can't remember half my family members' names. So I wish that was a joke. Ian, I'm going to say goodbye to you off there. Everyone who's listening,
okay.
I'll be right back with you after the quick break.